Welcome to the Equine Connection Podcast, where health, nutrition, and love of the horse come together. This podcast is brought to you by Tribute Superior Equine Nutrition. I'm your co-host, Kim Brown, along with equine nutritionist, Dr. Nicole Rambo.
Hello, Kim. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Dr. Rambo?
Oh, I'm doing well. The sun is out and we're talking equine nutrition. It's a good day.
Oh, that makes both of us happy. Okay, so today we're going to talk about all those different colored salt, mineral, and supplement blocks that we see in the feed store. And I'd really like to start with the salt and mineral blocks. So, Dr. Rambo, can you tell us the differences in that whole rainbow of colored supplement blocks? What horse owners should be looking for and why?
Yes. Okay, so all horses need free choice salt. It's, you know, the only nutrient that they have their own mechanism to know, yes, I need to consume that. So we allow them to have it all the time. When you go to the store, the salt blocks are going to be very, very hard. And there's little ones that slide into a slider in the stall. And then there's big ones that you can put in a little pan. Outside in the pasture, we see those quite a bit. And they can be really placed anywhere. And they do come in lots of colors, like you said. So there's the white one, just plain old salt. Red one, and they're going to vary a little bit depending on the manufacturer, but those red ones are going to have a sprinkling of other nutrients. So copper, zinc, some iron, maybe some iodine. And then there's the bright blue one. You don't see those as often, although I bet, Kim, out where you live, they're probably pretty standard. Lots of cattle there. Those are designed for cattle. That bright blue color is cobalt. That's what makes it bright blue. There's also kind of the Himalayan salt licks. They tend to be a pretty pink color. They're more rough cut versus those other salt licks are pressed into a block. They have a nice smooth outer covering. Now, if you look at the tags on all of them, they're all 99% salt. So salt is super important, but the red one, for example, that has a little bit of those other nutrients. When we think about the quantity of salt a horse consumes per day, usually a couple tablespoons, they're not getting enough of those other minerals to make a lick of difference, pun intended, because horses lick on us. So if we're wondering, what do we put out? I really just recommend people grab that plain white salt lick. I will say some horses sometimes find those Himalayan ones to be a little tastier for whatever reason. So cool. If they like that better, rock on with that. It's not going to make a difference nutritionally whether we have the fancy pink one, the red one, or just the plain old white one. Because at the end of the day, what that's providing in any quantity is salt. Now, some horses, because they're really hard and they have to lick on them, some horses might not use them as much as they should. So we absolutely could look at some free loose salt or adding a little salt directly to their grain. But overall, any of those salt licks, I wouldn't use the cobalt one because that's just specifically designed for cattle and probably manufactured in facilities for cattle. But otherwise, white, red, pink, doesn't matter. You're just providing salt.
Okay, well, some good tips there for both of them. So is there anything, and we mentioned the blue one that was made for cattle. Is there anything in those supplement blocks that horse owners should avoid?
Sure. So if we're talking kind of bigger picture, because you have the salt licks that may or may not have a sprinkling of minerals, and then you have products that are designed specifically to be mineral and vitamin blocks. Those are usually a tiny bit softer than the salt licks, and they might include some other ingredients. They might have a little bit of like a plant protein product, like some soybean meal or whatever included as well. Those we're going to want to be careful to check the label and make sure that it is labeled for horses. So there's going to be some products that are multi-species, sometimes called an all stock. Those are okay. So they'll say they're appropriate for cattle, horses, sheep, and goats, maybe. That is technically labeled for horses. It's not going to be targeted nutrition because you're trying to cover a wide variety of critters. But, you know, the assumption there is that it is manufactured and designed in such a way that it is still safe for the horse. We have those horse-specific products, the ones that are really targeted. So that's more the direction that I'm always going to recommend. And then, you know, we will definitely get calls sometimes like, hey, I grabbed this cattle block. Can I feed it to my horses? And just as a general rule, I'm never going to recommend we feed something off-label to a species it's not labeled for. At bare minimum, we're just not providing kind of the right balance of nutrients. More significant, if something is not labeled for horses, it's, you know, entirely possible it's made in a facility that has those medications that are harmful to horses, and it could potentially contain trace amounts of those. So always a best practice to make sure a product is at minimum labeled for horses if it's an all stock. And best practice to really use those things that are very specifically designed to support the needs of our horses.
That's some really great tips on that. And the Tribute has a couple of different types of supplement blocks. Can you tell us a little bit about them, what they contain, and why they're so unique in the world of blocks?
Sure. Yeah, we do carry a couple different blocks. So we have a vitamin mineral block designed for horses. It's called the Tribute Grass Assist block. That is something we can put out for maybe horses who live full time in the pasture. I will tell you, Kim, I'm very rarely recommending that block because I'm a bit of a control freak. I would like to ensure that each horse receives a meal that is targeted to their specific needs. Salt, cool. Horses consume whatever they need of it. When we start looking at these vitamin mineral blocks, you'll see it, you know, it recommends a range of intake, often 4 to 8 ounces per day.
Yeah.
When it's free choice intake and you're relying on that to provide your vitamins and minerals, they may or may not consume that. Some horses do a great job. Some horses never touch them. So I think they're nice for extra insurance or when you're truly in a situation where just they maintain their weight fine and it's just not realistic that you're going to provide another meal. It's not going to be my first choice, but it is at least, again, like we talked about, targeted specifically towards the horse. The other blocks in the line, we have the fly control block. So during those summer months, it can help provide fly control. So there's a compound in there. It's called difluobenzuron, and it works to disrupt the life cycle of the fly. So when a horse is fed difluobenzuron, it goes through their digestive tract and it's excreted. It's not metabolized in any way. It's excreted in their manure. And then it disrupts the life cycle of the larvae. So that can be really handy. Again, it's in a pasture setting. So we do have Essential K with fly control, which guarantees every horse eats the amount of fly control every day. But that's a nice option, again, for those situations where it's just not realistic that we're going to feed a horse a meal every single day.
Right.
It also contains vitamins and minerals and all that goodness. So you're kind of building in, let's meet basic nutritional needs plus fly control all in one. And then you'd also have that separate salt lick available to those horses. So you don't need the whole rainbow, Kim, but we're always going to have two. The other block that we have in our line, the Constant Comfort block, is unique in that it is designed to be a free choice block. Yes, there is on the label, you know, you have to provide average intake. But in reality, this block has ingredients that are designed to help support the digestive tract, a seaweed-derived calcium, and then a pre and probiotic. And what the horses learn to do is nibble on that block to consume that seaweed-derived calcium and self-soothe their own stomach at times that they need that. So it's, you know, often used in a stall. I do have one in a run-in shed for a horse right now. And he, you know, he nibbles on it here and there, even though he is free choice forage. But what it does is during those times, maybe a horse is bored, they've run out of hay for a little bit, or they're just feeling stressed. They nibble on that block and it provides a buffer, which helps comfort their stomach. So that's different in the sense that there's not really a specific target intake for that because every horse's needs are different.
Yeah.
And kind of fun, we'll do a research update at some point. I did a study recently where I, you know, designed a model to specifically create some gastric stress and see what happened to those horses' free choice intake of that block. And we actually do see an increase when those horses experience stress, increase in their consumption of the Constant Comfort block, which awesome as a scientist when your hypothesis works out, but that's something I've seen anecdotally happen a lot of different times. you know, horses change an environment. Maybe they're on stall rest for a little bit, or they just have something going on in their life that they perceive as stress. And like we talked about with the ulcer podcast recently, horses can be stressed out by all sorts of stuff.
Right.
Their stomachs can, you know, get a little upset and they can self-soothe themselves. So I'd say that's a little bit unique and separate from a lot of the blocks that we talk about. And it's designed to have that fluctuating intake. I don't personally stress if I throw a block in a stall and a horse doesn't really touch it for a while, because then sometimes something happens and it's there for them and available when they do. Unlike those vitamin mineral blocks, which in a perfect world, they'd be consuming the target rate each day to get their nutrients in.
Okay. And I know that this has been really interesting for me today, and I know I'm going to be thinking harder before I buy my next round of supplement blocks. And you've added something in the mix there that, you know, if I've got to stall a horse for injury, and face it, if you've got more than one horse, if you've just got one horse, they're going to get hurt at some point. And you're going to have to put them in a stall and take care of them. And you're always worried about them being stressed. So that's really cool to learn more about that. And maybe we can talk more about those in the future. That's fun. But are there any final words on this topic of all these multicolored blocks for horse owners?
You know, mostly I recommend we keep it simple. They absolutely need salt. We do want to make sure those blocks stay fresh. So placing them in an area where they don't get gross. And occasionally, like, you'll just need to replace them because they just get kind of yucky over time if there's periods of time horses aren't using them well. And then thinking about if we're placing them outside, placing them in a spot that's a little protected. You know, there are some weatherized blocks that do better in the weather, but things like your salt blocks, just as they get rained on, they're going to disappear over time. So thinking a little bit strategically about where we put them, so we make that easy for the horses. But yeah, blocks are definitely a tool that we can incorporate as part of that holistic nutritional program.
Well, I really like that. And thank you so much for all the great information today. And we give a big shout out to our listeners from around the world. But if you have any questions or suggestions for Dr. Rambo, make sure and visit the Tribute Equine Nutrition's Facebook page, or look for a link to contact us in the show notes. And don't forget, you can go back and listen to many other equine health and nutrition topics on previous episodes of the Equine Connection podcast.
Thanks so much, Kim.